So Parshas Bichokosai, we have the, of course, the tochacha, the admonition, the rebuke, and there are different explanations given in the psukim why the curses would come about, what would be done wrong, and right, if you don't listen to me, you don't do all these mitzvahs that I command you, and if you despise my mitzvos, my chukim, and my laws, Your soul is disgusted with them. You're going to annul the covenant. And so on. All these curses. And Rashi over here, quoting Chazal, explains that there's really a regression that takes place. Let's see where exactly it is. He says it's a regression that takes place that there are a few different averos they did. That he starts off saying that if they're not going to be learning Torah, and if they don't learn Torah, then they're not going to be doing mitzvos, and if they don't do mitzvos, they're going to end up despising those who do mitzvos, and if they don't, and then they despise the people who do mitzvos, then they're going to end up hating the people who teach it. They're going to hate the chachamim. Ultimately, they're going to deny mitzvos overall, and then they're going to deny Hashem himself, Kofer Baker, reject and deny everything. That's what's going to happen. And these curses come about because of that. And we see, if you look through the curses, you count them out, and Torah really says it explicitly, there's going to be series of seven curses. Curse, 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 seven curses, and then another series of seven curses, and then another series of seven curses, in fact, five series overall, seven curses, in response to these seven sins or layers of sin of not doing Torah and then not learning Torah and then not doing mitzvos and then hating those who do mitzvos. This regression is going to be responded by Hashem with this series of curses. So that's fair. It makes sense. That's a fair punishment to get all these curses for going against the Torah and ultimately denying God. That makes sense. But if you look a little bit further on in the parsha, in Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Lama Dalet, says Oz. So he talks about all the curses, everything that takes place. Oz Tirtza Haaretz Eshabso Seha, and then the land will be appeased. There will be a rut zone for the Aretz. It's also nice planned words of Tirtza Haaretz. But there's going to be a rut zone for the land. It's going to be appeased Eshabso Seha, for its Shabbosos, which presumably would mean Shemitah. Shemitah that wasn't kept. Rashi over here says, actually, Shemitah v'yovlos. But it's going to be appeased over the Shabbosos that were not kept. Kol yimei hashama va'atem be'eretz oyeveichem, oz tishbas ha'aretz v'hirtzas eshabso seha. All the years that you're going to be kicked out of the land, it's going to correspond to all the missed Shabbosos and the missed Yovlin, that you didn't fulfill these. It's going to be a punishment for that. And some of the Mefarshim try to do the exact cheshbonos, make a little calculation, figure out how it works out, how does it add up. But this is surprising, because what we saw earlier is that there's seven averos that cause the tochacha. The curses come about because of those seven averos, not because of not keeping Shemitah. Granted, Shemitah is a mitzvah. Great. So out of the 613 mitzvahs, so the pasuk chose the one to mention is Shemitah. Why is that? Why Shemitah of all mitzvahs is mentioned here? I know we're talking about Shemitah a lot. We've been talking about it the whole year, because the Shemitah year, those doing Mishnah Yomi are also Mesechah Shvius, and then after last year, last week was Bahar, and of course, Shemitah Ein Zal Har Sinai, talking about Shemitah again, but this seems to be a theme in the parasha as well. For some reason, we mentioned seven averos, because I don't understand it. Seven different averos that bring about the tochacha, and then over here, following up in the middle of the curses, it says, and then the land will be appeased for the shmitas that weren't kept. Why is shmita being singled out over here? And another question I think we have to ask in general on the way to the shavuos. Shavuos is a particularly challenging yontif for us, for those of us who live without a base of mikdash. It's really challenging for us to understand, and I think in general this is something we have to try to think about. You know, the Yom Tovim that we observe today, they're very different than the Yom Tovim that we observe when we have the Beis HaMikdash. you know, the way my brother describes it for Pesach is that he says the ikar chaser min haseder, right? You know this expression, ikar chaser min hasefer. The main thing is missing from the sefer. So he says ikar chaser min haseder. The main thing from the seder is missing. You know, we say chasal seder Pesach kehilchos. So we finished the seder of hilchos Pesach. We finished everything. But the truth is, we're missing the Karban Pesach of Pesach at our Seder. So it's beautiful. It's matzah, maror, different minhagim. It's so nice. Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're missing an important part, the Karban Pesach. But nevertheless, Pesach, so much of it still remains, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. We're still fulfilling so many biblical commandments as well as rabbinical commandments that remind us of the biblical commandments, right? We have maror. Okay, so nowadays, most posts can hold it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. But at least when we have the maror, we're eating the maror, so it's a zecher to the maror that we once ate. On sukkahs, so there's a lot that's missing without the karbanos. Nevertheless, we still have a sukkah, we still have dal minim. Okay, maybe this maybe the last bunch of days are derabanan when it comes to the dal minim. But still, we are able to retain like the tzura of the yomtiv, the form of the holiday. However, when it comes to Shavuos, it's actually much harder because we have to try to figure out what Shavuos is really about. We know, of course, if you ask anybody off the street, what's Shavuos about? So if they're not Jewish, they have no idea. But if you ask a Jew, what's Shavuos about? They would say? Matan Torah. Or cheese. Cheesecake or Matan Torah, or both. Right? Some say this is the same thing, right?
Depends if you're on a diet or not.
Right. So you say Matan Torah. Of course, we know that if you go through the Chumash, not once does it mention, by any time they mention Shavuos, does it mention that it's Matan Torah, right? Doesn't say it in Emor. We didn't see it 2 weeks ago in Emor. We're not going to see it in Re'eh, in Mishpatim, in Kisisa, in Pinchas. No time that we mention Shavuos does it say anything about Matan Torah. So it's true. Chazal tell us that this is Matan Torah, and if you work at the Cheshbon, you could get around that time. Hey, Vav, Zayin, Sivan, whatever it is, Gemara, discussion of Gemara and Shabbos. But what is Shavuos really about at its core? And that's something that really we have to try to think about. Of course, we know our minhagim, we know our cheesecake, of course, right? And Yal Yavor, Chas V'Shalom, not to have cheesecake. And of course, we know about staying up all night or as long as possible, learning. And we know about flowers and grass, and Vilna Gaon didn't like it. And we know all the minhagim. But if you get to fundamentally what Shavuos is about on a D'oraisa level, we have to try to think about that, because of course we're going to keep all of the minhagim. Of course we're going to do that, but we have to try to think about where do the minhagim stem from at the essence and the core of the Yom Tov Shavuos, which in the next 4 minutes we're not going to be able to really do. But just to get like one insight, Mir Tzashem, trying to look through the Chumash and what the Chumash tells us about Shavuos, and you can get a little bit of a taste. So the Chumash says a lot of things about Shavuos. It says, right, it mentions the Shtei Halechem, something like the two loaves of bread. That was a special karban. Hard to relate to that without a base of Mikdash, though. There, you can look into that. There's Yom HaBikurim, the first day of Bikurim. But another thing that the Torah clearly makes a connection to is something that we had last week as well, which is the mitzvah of Yovel. And the mitzvah of Yovel, it bears striking similarities to the counting of Shavuos. Both of them have a sfira. Svartin lechem. So there's clearly a connection between them, back-to-back parshios. Emor, we're told, count 7 weeks, right, of 7 days each. Most of the weeks they make out there are 7 days, right? You count seven weeks, 7 days each, 49 overall, and the 50th is special. That's a special Yom Tov. And of course we know, we have this last week's parsha, 7 Shemitah cycles, and each Shemitah cycle is 7 years, and then it culminates after 49. The 50th one is special, and that's Yovel. So clearly there's a connection between Shavuos and Yovel, and that can hopefully enlighten an aspect of Shavuos for us. There's a lot to learn about Shavuos, and again, not so much that we can do in just such a short time, but one aspect of Shavuos we can probably glean from, pardon the pun, from the Yovel year. But at first I want to try to address the previous question, which is the Shemitah cycle. We said Shemitah is like the big thing over here. Oz Tirtzahar, then the land will be appeased for Shabsoseha, for its missing Shemitah, for its missing Yovlos. So what's going on here? So I think that if you think about what Shemitah is at its core, right? Shemitah is about a couple of things. It's about you acknowledging that Hashem is the creator of the world, that this field is not mine, right? If I own it, I work it as long as I want. But if Hashem tells me not to, and I take a step back and I say I'm not working for the earth, I'm showing that I believe that really Hashem is the creator of the world. Hashem is the owner, and I just work here. And this year I don't work here, right? That's what you're demonstrating. Of course, what's a person to do in that time? So you take the whole year off. So you go on sabbatical, literally. So what are you doing on sabbatical? So hopefully what the farmer is doing is something that he's not able to do the rest of the time because he's so busy making a parnassa. This time Hashem says, the parnassa's on me. I'll take care of it. You're in kolo for a year. You should be learning Torah. So what Shemitah is supposed to create is somebody learning Torah, taking that time, carving the time in his life to learn, focus, learning Torah, and of course, bring him to the recognition of the creator of the world. Now, if you remember, on the list of seven Averos that were done, what was the first of the seven Averos? Is not learning Torah. Turning away from Torah leads into this downward spiral of everything else going wrong. And when you do the right thing, right, when you do this, you're brought to an awareness of Hashem. What was the final one on the list of Averos? The final one was denying God. So Shemitah comes to combat both of those. Shemitah takes on the people not learning Torah. It also takes on denial of God. And really, of course, Shemitah, of course, the number of Shemitah is seven, and there are seven Averos. So really, Shemitah embodies the response to these seven Averos. So when the Torah says, these are the seven Averos, this regression causes the curses, and then it says the land will be appeased for Shabbos Oseha, because Shemitah was the counter to everything in the first place. Shemitah is seven. Shemitah is the counter to those seven Averos. Shemitah is the time to take a step back and focus on learning Torah and focus on your connection with Hashem and focus on loving Talmidei Chachamim and focus on doing mitzvos and focus on loving other people who do mitzvos. It's trying to build up all those layers. That's what Shemitah comes to accomplish. Just to wrap it up, I think that's one aspect of Yovel that we can try to get for Shavuos. Yovel is a very intense form of Shemitah. To keep it very simple, it's a very intense form of Shemitah where Hashem says that the slaves go back to the true master, that people go back to where they belong. This person belongs in this land, this person belongs with his family, and Yovel is this ultimate reset, putting everything back where everyone back where he belongs. That is what Yovel is about. And that's what Yovel is about. That's what Yovel is about, and that's really what Shavuos is about too. Shavuos is about resetting ourselves, putting us back where we belong. It's like an extreme Shabbos. Shabbos is a time where we're able to carve out a little bit of time for learning, where we have a little bit more time, hopefully, than during the week, when we are able to focus a little bit more learning time. Shavuos is, just like Yovel is a very intense Shemitah, Shavuos is a very intense Shabbos. But the afternoon Seder of Shabbos, or the late night, Friday night Seder of Shabbos, depending on winter, summer, Shabbosos. So Shavuos is that time to reset. Again, there's so much more to say about Shavuos, but this is just one aspect. And it's just saying we should be zocha to connect to this aspect every Shabbos, and especially on Shavuos, to charge ourselves for the year.